Hello, and welcome to Humans of Magic. My guest this time is none other than Andrea Mengucci, aka Mengu, aka one of the most prolific magic content creators and players around. I had interviewed Mengu before on Humans of Magic, but what I did not expect in this conversation is for him to completely open up and just share the transformation that he went through as a content creator, player, and really as a person. I was really struck by the brutal honesty and openness in which he shared his journey and how he looks at Magic the Gathering today. I think this conversation reveals a new depth to his personality and who he is, and will allow you to gain a newfound appreciation for what he brings to the table. Mengu really loves Magic and works super hard at it. In fact, it's hard to think of someone who works harder than him when it comes to Magic content creation. He's going to talk about the grind and the sacrifice and what it took to get to where he is today. Mengu's also got a new YouTube channel that is focused on paper magic gameplay. It's kind of a return back to his roots called Mengu's Workshop. He talks about it here as well as some of his other content strategies. So without further ado, this is my conversation with Andrea Mengucci.
Okay.
Mengu, how are you doing?
I just finished sleeving a 5-color zoo in water. We're gonna make a video soon, a paper video, after I finish this podcast with you, this morning stream podcast with you, and then I go to the office to make some more content.
So your life is like when you're not asleep or having family life or enjoying Mengu cuisine, it's just magic. It's just magic around the clock.
Yeah. Sometimes I think about, what could I do if I take a pause for magic? I would just play some more magic because, that's definitely my life. I mean, eventually I'll get more into the family stuff, but for now it's just magic, just enjoying the work and fun balance, which thankfully it's the same for me now. I just enjoy a lot what I do, especially with the new paper channel. Really, really enjoy making content there. Just waking up and reading the YouTube comments of like hundreds of nice sentences is just honestly like the reason why I do everything I do.
Sure. It's the fans or the feedback, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't know how to say it, but just the happiness that I get to share with people, the things that I like, the magic cards, you know, my collection. You know, not everyone can afford to have a magic collection as mine. So I'm just very happy to share a lot of it, and I guess the gameplay, everything I can, I basically share. I'm very, very open with all my magic life, I would say.
I'm super curious about your new YouTube paper magic channel, Mengu's Workshop. I know you have been a YouTube veteran for, how long has it been? Maybe over a decade, right? Like, you've been doing online gameplay for a very, very long time. I think you're one of the first people to do legacy videos or videos, and mm-hmm. now you're doing a paper channel. Like, can you walk me through, like, what was the spark that made you want to do a second channel and one dedicated to paper?
I'm glad to talk about this because, when I started to write for Channel Fireball, it was just after my first Pro Tour top 8 in 2014. And then it was always a relationship of me asking them, can I do this? Can I write more? Can I make a video? And this is honestly a suggestion that I give to just all the people trying in their life at home on most things. Just ask. Just don't wait for people to come and ask you for work or just for whatever you want to do. Just ask. And to me, thankfully, I got very lucky because any time I ask Channel Fireball to work more, to even get paid more, they always said yes. So I started doing the legacy videos for them because it was a format I played a lot in my town. And, it's not part of competitive magic. So I wasn't able to ever play or talk about legacy. But thanks to the legacy videos, and there was a lot of people watching them. But then I figured that lately, magic online content is going down. I would say that, you know, there's obviously still people watching my stream and my YouTube channel of magical and content, but I wanted to do more in this 2024. I just turned 30 years old last December, and I decided to change something in my life. I didn't want to have this year be exactly the same as the past 3 or 4 or 5 years ever since the COVID happened, and, you know, my life changed a lot. So I wanted to be more, I just had something different. And a paper YouTube channel is always something I wanted to do. I never really started it because, you know, when like things go very, very well, you don't want to change much, right? Of course, yeah. My content does very well. I make good money. So why would I want to change something? But I said, you know what, let's do it. I hired a full-time editor who was, you know, working every day for me now, which is something I've never had before. I never really had anybody working for me full-time. So it's just a completely new thing. I also have to thank a lot Card Market. That's the YouTube channel in Berlin that I go very often to. In fact, this weekend, I'll go to them in Berlin to shoot some more videos, and I really enjoyed doing that.
Oh, nice. A new one. So I've seen some of the videos or collaborations you have done with them. They're quite well done. They seem like very smart guys, very, very savvy. Yeah.
Very, very good people. Very nice people to work with. They have like great editing and everything. So they were my biggest inspiration. And I have a friend of mine here who also liked a lot what they do. And he said he could do that too. So I said, you know what? Why don't you, you know, leave your job and let's make this. Let's make this new project.
Oh, wait. So you actually lured your friend away from whatever he was doing in a day job to collaborate with you on this new channel.
Exactly. Yeah. He was doing something else. But he loved the computer. He loved the, everything. Tommy, he's the one that does the videos with me. He's also like a super good Magic player that helps a lot editing. Because if you're very good at Magic,
yeah, you need to have people working on editing that actually know Magic, right? I think that's one of the biggest challenges I have heard from creators when they try to outsource. Like, it's like I try to hire an editor and they don't know like Magic, so it's very hard. But in this case, your friend seems like you just converted him into a content creator partner kind of thing, right?
Yeah, so far in the 5 matches we played, he beat me 4 times.
Oh my goodness. But that's not the point, right? I mean, the point is to have fun, right? And yeah.
No, of course. The point is to have fun. And I think the most important thing is to share the fun, to be able to be as empathic as possible and show people at home, and so that people at home can understand how much fun you're having. Because... Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely the most important thing. The language barrier was definitely a challenge. I was afraid that, you know, I'm not a first language speaker, but I've been speaking English for, I would say, 10 years at this point to by myself in the room, but, you know, still. But whereas Tommy wasn't, never really traveled outside of Italy, so his English is not great, but nonetheless, he's been... Yeah, it's been going very well, and I had zero complaints in all the thousands of comments I had so far.
Yeah. So something I feel like you do very well naturally. Actually, this is really a question. I don't know if it's natural or it's learned. You seem to have a very good way of just being empathic and entertain people with content. Because I feel like a lot of Magic players who try to be creators, they're not very good at actually being... entertaining, right? They're really good at Magic, which you are good at Magic, but they're also it's very hard to do, to balance the fun and the learning from Magic, and I feel like you do that very well on the screen. So I'm wondering, like, do you think that was kind of a natural thing for you, or was it improvement over time and really working on it?
It's also the culture. Like, in Italy, everyone just tries to make the other person laugh. It's just a very cultural thing. Like, you go to a dinner with 6 Italians and you're not Italian, you'll probably just, everyone will always try to make you laugh. Like, that's just, yeah, like, Italian people really, really, I'd say, like, love to have fun. So that is something that I always did. Maybe me a little bit more, like my girlfriend always points out how I try to always entertain everyone at the table and stuff like that. So I guess I brought that with my job as well. And people definitely seem to be happy about it. I always try to have a comment or stuff like that. And also, like, the language actually makes it harder, of course. Like, you're much more fun in your original language than you are in your second language. So that's definitely a barrier, but yeah,
Have
hopefully.
you done like magic content in Italian, or have you do you just feel like the market for that is smaller, so it's harder to get the larger appeal if you do that?
No, I've never really done content because I started doing content with Channel Fireball, so it was always in English. I mean, sometimes I do interviews with some Italian channels, but it's always a bit more serious. You don't but yeah, the what's another big part of the Italian language, I think it's the dialects. That's a thing that you can't really translate, and I think it's very cool that whoever you talk to and throughout the different part of Italy has their peculiarity, which is very, very nice. I'm very, very proud of my country. I'll definitely will not leave it, and always happy to travel.
So which part of Italy are you in again? Do you identify more with like the northern side or the southern side,
You know, if
or
you're
is that
not
like
from
a
Italy, it's
or is that a gross generalization? Because everything I hear about Italians is like, okay, there's people in the north, people in the south, but that's
for
maybe like a
sure. No.
huge
Yeah,
stereotype,
yeah,
right?
yeah. No, I'm from a very, I would say not very known part of the country. It's from the center on the east side. I'm on the sea. Let's say I'm in front of Croatia, right in front of Croatia. But I'm not in, whenever somebody goes like, oh yeah, I'm visiting Italy at some point, but they always go to like Florence, Milan, Rome, Venice, and that's it. I mean, sometimes Naples, but no, I'm like none of these parts, but you know, nonetheless, it's a beautiful culture, cuisine, weather. Love it here.
So back to the Mangoose Workshop, what's been the biggest challenge so far in just getting started? Because I know you haven't done a ton of videos yet. It's still in the very early stages. Like, what do you think is the most challenging thing that you have encountered? Maybe even a few things that you think are challenging.
Yeah, so the first time ever we recorded, I think we had a fant some fantastic games, and unfortunately we set up our microphone wrong and it didn't record the audio, so we had to throw everything away and record again the next day. Nonetheless, the video was a hit. Like, that was actually our first video. We got 25,000 views, which we never really reached again. So it was definitely a very, very succeed a success, but it felt bad when I've been told by Tommy that, you know, we made that mistake. But that was the first time. So clearly, like, you know, we improved a lot, and so far we never really had any challenges. But honestly, it's because Tommy is just fantastic. Like, last weekend at Four Seasons, we did something that this was like another project of mine that I really wanted to do. Do you remember the GP Reid Duke, right?
Yes, when he played the GP, and the coverage followed him. I'm just explaining for those who may not have watched it.
For sure, yeah. So I wanted to do the same, but not live. So, you know, we I but I would record every single one of my matches, and then post-production, Tommy would edit those matches, and we would together comment on those. And so that you can follow my whole tournament throughout the day. So, and this is something that I don't know, I has never been done. I think you had the GP Reid Duke, which was live. But I want to do it post-production, so you don't have to like wait for the half an hour through rounds or
It's
the 10
smoother and you
minutes.
can just watch the highlights or something like that, right?
Yeah, you don't have to wait for the 10 minutes that your opponent resolves takes to resolve Doomsday, or you don't have to like wait for the judge call. I think this like YouTube post-production is just the best way to consume content, in my opinion. Like, I sometimes go to streamers and everything, but mostly to just ask them how they feel and what happened in the tournament or stuff like that. Not too much to like, it's very hard for me to consume the content on Twitch. I much prefer YouTube, but I understand it's different targets.
Yeah, I watch a lot of content, including your content on Twitch, and always in VODs, and you have to 1.5x the speed and then try to like figure out the thing, and then Twitch sometimes doesn't save it for a long time. Most people are now just like exporting to YouTube anyways. So I totally understand where you're coming from. But I think this idea is really cool, like GP well, there's no more GPs, but GP Mengu, right? With commentary, post-production. Maybe this is an indirect question, but I'm wondering if you feel like, I'm sort of inferring here that you feel like there's still innovation to be explored in terms of Magic content that's gameplay related, that I think like people like you and Card Market are really pushing the boundaries of exploring, but I don't know if you feel that, or are you consciously trying to like go in that direction? Because I feel like when I watch like 100 Magic channels, like 99 of them are very, very similar. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, definitely. Like I want to do innovations. Another innovations we had was the pre-release video. I want to do this at every pre-release, but I acquire 2 pre-release bundles a few days before the pre-release, and we record them and we release them ideally the day before the pre-release.
Oh, so the timing is great. Yeah.
Yeah, so you actually can watch some content before going to your pre-release, which has never happened before. And when it happened in Carl of Manor, I think that video got, you know, very many views, and it was super cool that we were able to do that. I'll try to do it again for the next video. But I don't know, like yesterday we released a pre-modern gameplay video, which is another format that is not very much supported on YouTube. So there's definitely a lot of things to cover. I mean, eventually like a cube video as well. I don't think there's that much cube content, but that one requires a lot of effort.
Are you guys also going into Commander, or is that oversaturated?
So I feel like it's very important to be real, to be true with your audience. And I don't know, I don't enjoy Commander. I feel like the whole, you have to lie, you have to be friend, you have to make friends, you have to, I don't know.
Multiplayer just, politics, yeah.
Just like my goal at Magic is to win. My goal at Magic is... It's like if I sit down and shuffle my deck, sure, but I can't. I remember when I played Commander with the Car Market guys, and I was winning the game with Lever of Alexandria, and some person played Stone Rain on another land that wasn't Lever of Alexandria. I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, you should definitely kill this land. Like, why are you killing this totally random land? You say, oh, because he destroyed my creature 2 turns ago. Like,
so there's a vendetta. It's not like to try to win the game.
Like, I don't know. That's like a board game that I don't.
Yeah, that Commander I don't is like. A board game with Magic cards.
Maybe one day it changes, but for now, I just like to be true with my audience and only share like happiness with things that I'm actually like happy to play, and that is something that I've always believed in. I was never like I never withdraw anything from my viewers, like of what I think, even with you know WotC decisions, like. The current like stage of modern that I keep banning cards.
We just had to ban,
just crazy. I just don't understand.
Ban the format out of existence. It feels like it's so funny. Like it's been what 10 years of modern, and every year it's just like ban, 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 ban.
Like before the last bans in September, they haven't banned a card since Lurrus, which was like that's, 2 years before.
That's true.
So they just started like banning cards for, I would say, no reason, because when they banned the cards in September, they weren't even that good. I don't know. Somebody just decided that it had to start.
It's like a proactive ban, like a preemptive ban, right? Something like that.
Yeah, I mean... The conspiracy theory of me says that they want to sell the new cards, so they have to ban the good ones, the good old ones. But I really hope that's
not
true.
That's not even much of a conspiracy theory. That's just realistic, I think.
And it's super bad because you make people lose money. But that's not a topic. So as you say, I'm not like, maybe
you're
2 days
honest.
Ago.
I can tell. Like, if you like something, you like it. If you want to say something, you say it. And you're not okay. I guess that was going to be my next question. Is I feel like you've already answered it for me. Like, you're not creating content because you feel like, oh, that's going to do well. Like, oh, you know, this deck or this thing is going to do well. Like, you're creating the content because I have to assume you enjoy it, or there's some like enjoyment out of doing the thing as opposed to just like something else, right?
Yeah, I would say it's a mix of both. Like, I'm used to it. Like, that's what I do. Like, I wake up and I turn on the stream and I play sometimes, and I'm a little bit happier than other times. But also, like, obviously, I try to play what I like, which is usually just constructed old formats. I don't play Arena. I don't play, Standard or stuff like that. But maybe I would enjoy that too. I don't know. I mean, I have to play standard eventually because I somehow qualified to the Pro Tour in Seattle in a month or so. So I need to start play standard again.
I'm wondering if your podcast co-hosts, Antonio and Javier, do they influence you to play standard? Like, 'cause you have to talk about competitive Magic with them every week or every so often. So I assume even if you're not playing, you're sort of tuned in to what's going on, right?
Yeah, I mean,
Or
I wouldn't say
you just
they.
know the cards, so I guess you just have a sense.
Yeah, I wouldn't say they influence me. They have a totally different view of Magic than I have. Their goal is to win the tournaments. My goal when I go to tournaments is just to, for real, like I'm not joking here, to have fun. Like, my goal when I go to the PT is sure, I'd love to do well so much. But it's just to have fun and enjoy the experience. And if I don't have fun, sorry, if I don't do well, like has been happening the last two PTs, I was definitely not unhappy. You know, I always try to, yeah, like something I've been doing for a long time now is to detach my happiness from the result of the tournament and instead always make sure that I went there with good friends. I booked dinners, so I had looked something to look forward to at the end of the tournament. You know, just like take the Magic weekend not as a Magic tournament, but it has a vacation. And that's how I encourage everyone to take their Magic the Gathering experiences. So, you know, even if you tested a lot for a tournament, don't be like, oh, I went 6-2 and didn't top eight, I failed. You know, you won so much. It's just that the nature of a Magic tournament is so brutal that most people always lose. Like, you go to a tournament, like let's say Four Seasons, it had 451 people, you know, 10 rounds of Swiss. Like, everyone's gonna lose. Like, the 0.1% people will be
You can't win them
victorious.
all.
Yeah, so you just have to go there with the mindset of being okay with, you know, losing. And that's, I think, something that's important to understand in the competitive Magic, which isn't great, but yeah, that's something that I.
How did your mindset start to change? Because I have to assume when you were younger, you were definitely more on the I want to win at all costs, because I feel like, I mean, I don't think that's even an assumption, right? You had to have been more competitive when you were younger. But what changed for you? Were there like certain people that influenced you, or certain events, or like once you started winning some of the higher tier tournaments, you're just like, I don't have to chase that because I've already achieved it. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, no, I'd say that it all happened with COVID. Like, before COVID, I was at the peak. I was in the MPL. I was top eighting every PT, stuff that it was insane. And then, you know, COVID happened. It was on a computer, which I really dislike. Like, I really dislike to play Magic at computer. I mean, I do that for work, but, you know, if I can, I wouldn't do it
That's
anymore. I
why
would
you want
only
to do the
do.
new channel. I get it.
Exactly. Exactly. So it just killed all my interest in winning because I wasn't practicing anymore because I just didn't want to do that. So yeah, I just decided that for me, Magic was paper and online was just a vehicle to that, to test or to talk or to make content and everything. But yeah, so I guess it all happened in the 2020, 2000. 22 years, and now I just created this mindset, which for I think it really works, and I think it just maybe you lose more because of this mindset because you kind of don't care, but you know, you just I think enjoy much more the whole experience whenever it happens, and yeah.
More relaxed, right? You're just more comfortable, and like you said, you look forward to things outside of the tournament itself when you travel. I'm trying to, for some reason, I'm suddenly thinking of your good friend Calc or Calcano, right? Like I think he tries very hard at Magic, as you do, I think, but he knows how to enjoy the life outside of Magic. So I feel like, I don't know, are you too similar in some ways?
But he has other hobbies, whereas I kind of like all in on Magic.
That is true. He has other hobbies, other card games.
But yeah, Kalk travels a lot. I definitely want to do more like he does. Somehow content kind of makes me, I can't take a month off like he's been doing. He was in Europe for a very long time, and he will be again for the Magic on Amsterdam. So I'm definitely, I'd be like, oh, but I have to return home. I have to hit my daily video on the Andrea Mengucci channel, on YouTube. It's been going for over 2 years now. One video a day, which is definitely something that's a lot, especially, these gameplay videos. But, we will see. Like, there's a lot of things that are moving, and it's basically like how much content I want to put out, which is implies like how much money do I want to make versus how many experiences do I want to live. I think that's a very important balance that I have to do in my 30 years of age, because eventually I'll start maybe living with my girlfriend and maybe making a family, and I just can't do it anymore. So I need to like go all in now that I'm still quote unquote young, even though still 30 years old. So
I want to ask you a question that I really want to ask. Like, it's not just because this is like interview and I have to like ask you something. This is something that I'm genuinely curious about as a, I will admit, I am a struggling content creator. Like, Magic is not my main job. This podcast is like very niche, very small, and I can't just like make a content and just like money comes back, right? So I really want to ask you, and you don't have to answer this question if it's not comfortable, but like, what is it like to be like one of the top Magic creators where literally I think your results scale linearly with your output? Like, for example, let's say you do one video a day. You probably are able to say that, I get a certain amount of benefit from doing one video because you're Andrea Mengucci. So it's like you'll get AdSense, you'll get like sponsorships or whatever it is, you get like fans, right, supporting you, or you know that when you put a video, people will watch you. So if you do two videos a day, like it's almost like a linear function. Like, is that a good feeling to know that like you can just like turn it up and turn it down? Because I feel like a lot of us content creators, like the small content creators like me, like we don't have that ability. It's like we can't just like linearly scale like reward with our output. So it's like, does it make it more tempting for you to like want to do more, like you said, to like bank what you have while you are kind of in your prime? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know, like, what's the mindset like when you know that you can just press a button and then something comes back? I'm really curious.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of that. I believe the word that I learned is workaholic, and I identify a lot with that. Whenever I'm home, whenever I'm in this chair, I need to produce. I need to make
Grinding.
money. I need to write an article, write a cyber guide, make my homework for tomorrow's streaming, answer all the comments, answer all the emails, And so whenever I'm in the weekend, I have to be like, I can't sit on this chair, because I know that as the moment I sit on this chair, I need to, improve my brand. Like I'm doing with this interview, I'm very happy to be with you, but all in all, it's a lot. I definitely not like go to work and then you leave the office and it's out. Like, you don't have to think about that anymore. It's not like that. Also, or like, watch, read Twitter to get informations, or check the deck list. It's always like that, right?
Yeah, it's like work research, basically. Yeah.
Yeah, and like, well, for example, I play a league for fun, and I'm like, oh, and I go 5-0, and when I think it's like, oh, I could have like recorded this. This would have been, I don't know, $200, stuff like that. So it's, yeah, I mean, it's in my brain. I can never leave that thoughts, but at this point I kind of live with it for sure. It's a lot. And another thing are the sponsor stream. So some people may not be aware of this, but streamer get paid for sponsoring different games and get paid, get offered money. Like, you'd be like, oh, I'm gonna give you this amount of money, do you accept? And you're like, and it's so like, when the amount of money is very high, it's really hard to be like, no, because my that's not what my viewers would love to watch, or I wouldn't enjoy my time there. But then you're thinking like, I'm just wasting so much money. I could be
You're leaving money on the table if you don't take the deal or something.
Exactly. Yeah. I could be like working for, let's say, 3 hours, 4 hours in a month and making and getting so much money. Like, why don't I do it? But it's just like a combination of things. Like, you weaken a little bit of your brand. It's just, it's not something that prepare you. It's not something you study. It's just all that happens and you're by yourself. Like, I've been by myself forever. Just this year, I have a person working with me. I just have to decide all these things. Also, like, let's say, go to Berlin this weekend, go to Prague next weekend, go to Pisa the weekend after. Mm. And yeah, it's just all decisions that you do. And I mean, I'm certainly privileged and super happy about my life, but it's not as easy as maybe another job, but also it's very fun. So I would never trade it with another job. I would never think about using my law degree for any other job. I really hope to be doing this for my rest of the life.
Hey, man, I really appreciate that honest answer. The one thing I'm taking from your answer is that it's actually not necessarily an envious position to be in, right? I was sort of like looking at, oh, what's your life like from my point of view? And I was like, oh, you know, he has all these things. But if I'm being honest, like, I think that's a really challenging thing to balance is exactly what you said, right? Like, I don't know if the word trapped is like too strong, but like, you love magic, obviously. But when there's money on the table or opportunities, it feels hard to walk away from it, especially if you're already playing magic and you enjoy magic. So that must be impossible. I mean, not impossible. You figure it out, but it just sounds really, really challenging to navigate.
I mean, it helps that it's fun. And when I stream, there's always, not always, sometimes there's someone in the chat that keeps you company. It's not like recording for YouTube. I actually don't love that. I never do that where I'm just playing and talking. I don't do that anymore. I started with that, but so you're always in company, and that's, I guess, I value that a lot. I always try to kind of never be alone. You know, even now I'm with you, or just throughout all my troubles, I always try to be with somebody. I mean, again, as I said, I would never change my life, and I basically just like zero regrets, like, of every decisions I made. You know, the questions like, you know, if you could start your life over, what would you change? It's zero regrets, you know?
Yeah.
Just, yeah. So everything worked out, and then definitely super happy for it. But it's not that what I achieved was, it's just that nobody else, like, not nobody else does it, but like very, very few people try. And this is something that I always, you know, I try to say to the next parent or the next person, just let your, you know, children, just like even a teenager, just try to live their dream. Don't trap them into a job at the age of like 25, because this, you know, they can achieve something that's much bigger than what kind of like, you know, society has ready for you by an easy choice. Because again, it's not that my parents supported me to do this. They were like, you know, they were happy for my wins in magic, but they definitely didn't see it as becoming my work at 31 years old or 30 years old or whatever it is. So yeah,
is that what happened to a lot of friends around you? Like, they all sort of fell into a more normal career in Italy, and like I have to assume that some are happier than others, maybe not as happy as you are right now, all things considered, right?
Yeah, for sure. Like, the whole like YouTube and Twitch system, it's so brutal, because at the beginning you earn zero money for so long, and that discourage you.
Yeah.
So you need to have I don't know, either strength or just be willing to commit more, because maybe you aren't doing it right. That's why you're not, you know, making money. And it's just, it's so difficult to do the content creator life at the beginning, because now, you know, what I do is very fun and I enjoy doing it and I go everywhere. But how many people just, you know, put so much hours at the beginning and then didn't succeed?
And for you too, it was like years of building it up. Like, there's a huge investment where you're not getting, I have to assume you weren't getting the rewards that you're getting now, like, but it was years of personal investment, right?
I would say that my example isn't too easy to repeat because I started by winning a lot in the Magic tournament, and that led to Channel Fireball picking me up, paying me monthly. So that helped. And then I continued to play, and then the MPL gave me a lot of money to just kind of like never care about money, just doing it for fun. Not everybody can be in the same spot. So this is definitely a different example,
It's
which.
a lot of it is also timing, right? Like you were in the right era. Like if you were just starting today as a Magic player or a content creator, it's there's the
Yeah, I
system is
mean,
not there.
as a student, you have so much time to waste because like I mean, I was able to graduate while also like, you know, making a Platinum Pro career. And I don't think because I'm a genius or anything, but because I was surrounded by the right players, and I consistently surrounded myself by people that are smarter and better than me. And this is something that is so important. Like my testing partner have always been better at Magic than me, and that made me a better Magic player, not of the field. Like when I was testing with Javier, he would be like first at every event, but I would be like second or third or fourth, you know? So and you know, when I just listened to Javier podcast here, and when he said when he world the world champion 2018, he said he wanted to be the person who had the most testing hours at the tournament. And I mean, I was his testing partner, so we were playing against each other. Maybe he was
You're
playing
also playing
more,
a lot.
but I don't know. He sleeps a lot, so maybe. And so we were there, like, so I would just be following him with all the steps, and that taught me a lot, and that made me, you know, definitely a better player. And that was always the case, even when I was super young age, not even 20 years old in Italy, just always trying to test with the better player of my country, of my area. When I did well, I joined a team of American players and did very well. So it was always like level up, like always look above you. Again, not that easy, much easier to say than done, but this is definitely what characterized my early stage of Magic. And you know, now I'm kind of getting the benefit, but you know, trying to help other people as well in the same position that I was once.
I mean, do you think for a young player coming up now, is it the same level of the difficulty to level up? I'm sure there are good Magic players or great Magic players all around the world. So it's like what you went through as a early like 20-something year old, do you think somebody else could do what you're doing all those years ago?
Yeah, I think definitely. Now Magic is competitive Magic is in a strange position where there's very little reward for people to do, as in there's like less money than before. There's, you know, very, very few tournaments. You have like three PTs and a Worlds per year. That's it. So, but at the same time, there's much less super team and like people that actually like main thing is test and like go to the PT and be super prepared. I feel like, you know, back in the days of Platinum Pros and everything, there was way more of that than there is now. But at the same time, without the GPs, you don't have that consistent like I have to test for the tournament in 2 weeks, I have to test for another tournament in 1 week and stuff like that. Now you just basically like kind of dawdle around for a few months, which definitely kills the practice.
You mentioned, learning from people that are more skilled than you as a Magic player to improve as a Magic player all those years ago. Is there a similar motto for content creators, do you think? Like, to become the content creator you are now, did you figure it out, everything out on your own, or did you have mentors as well along the way?
Okay, so I watched a lot of Channel Fireball videos. So, for example, LSV, Reed Duke. So, a lot of their, even their way of saying. So, they were definitely the people that got me. to make the
Okay, so you
content.
actually studied the content or the content that's out there.
I mean,
That's okay.
studied. I was just consuming a lot of content because in order to be a better player, I was watching every video, but also I was watching the LSV Cube video and, all the stuff for fun as well. So they definitely helped me. I definitely want to shout out a creator called Cover2Go Blue. He once made a video where he was sharing how much he was earning with YouTube. This is something that it's crazy to me to do. Like, I would never do it, but he did it. He shared that he was earning thousands and thousands of dollars thanks to YouTube monthly. And I asked myself, why can't I also do it? And I started a YouTube channel, and I'm also, making a lot less than him, but still, I'm making like money thanks to YouTube because he shared his earnings, which is something, again, to me, like, so hard to understand why I would do that. But because of that, I'm also, now like doubling the revenue of Twitch and YouTube. And this is something that some people may not know, but like if you stream, you could record your videos as you stream. Of course, you don't have to have the sound and everything, but you could then upload to YouTube. And if you have like proper editing, a good intro and stuff like that, you could make money on YouTube as well. And this was great. Like, this was a lesson that, Cover2Go Blue helped me doing. I'd say this was 2000, 3 years ago now. So yeah, very,
I
very
haven't had a
important.
chance to talk to him, but I know he's doing it at a very, very high level and he's very methodical. He also does daily videos and I feel like his workflow, he's almost perfected it where it's like he knows exactly what his niche is. Like I would dare say that I'll give you an example. Like I would watch your content. I wouldn't watch his content, but I know that his content has a large following. Like he's obviously not a pro player or someone who identifies with that, but somehow he's found a way to be like the biggest, I mean, who's a pro now, but like the biggest non-pro content creator. And it's like he figured out some kind of magic, right? I have to assume that with the video he did, it was just to kind of share that or to maybe inspire people like you to be like, yeah, I can learn how to do that, something like that.
Yeah, for sure. The arena, I think it's all about arena. Like, Magic Arena has a much bigger target than Magic Online. And also, like, the people that watch Magic Online are just like, let's say, not competitive players, because you watch also Cube and Vintage and Legacy or whatever, but more like serious about the game than arena. And there's just much, much more people that are just casual about the game than there are serious. So if you're committing to watch a Magic Online game, it means that you have to know so much about Magic that there's just not that many people that do that, and even less that consume content. So let's say of all the people that play Magic, you have to like reduce so many spots to get to the people that watch Magic Online content. So when you arrive to the Magic Online content, and it's even divided between, let's say, Bosh and Roll, me, LSV, Paul Chion, like there's still like, let's say, tens of people that you can decide to watch. So
How big is the
does that answer?
temptation for you to just do arena content, or how big was the temptation? Because I can imagine, okay, I can't pretend to be you, but I'm saying if I were in your shoes and I'm already putting in this much effort in making Magic content, how tempted were you over the years to just do arena content?
All right, since I am sharing a lot of personal feelings already, I will also say tell you that I have a better, very bad relationship with Arena, because when I think of Arena, when I open Arena, I think about the COVID years, and COVID definitely hurt so much people, so many people in the world, but also hurt me because I was just at the peak of my game, at the peak of my career, getting ready for 1 year of I was just second the MPL race. Javier was first, I was second. We're testing together, crushing every event, traveling so much, always hanging out with incredible people, which again, to return to the one before, I was always surrounding myself with super smart people. And then COVID happened. I had to stay home for 2 years, not travel anymore. The people that are in my town, I'd say, are not the incredible minds that get to play pro Magic. So I just reduced my life to a much worse life than it was a few years before. So, and I was playing Arena so much because the MPL system during those years was just awful. Like, you had to play every week against top pros, which were, I guess, enjoying that. So they were testing so much, whereas I wasn't. So I was losing a lot. I was life
became... Not in a good place mentally, it sounds like.
Yeah, exactly. My life became not, like, again, like, I was making money because Wizards was paying us and everything, but my life just became so much worse than what was a few years ago. So every time I see Arena, I feel bad because it brings me back all these just bad time that, I, again, like, there were so many people much worse than me. So, you know, I'm not going to say that is awful and everything, but yeah, it's just, it evocates so many bad times that I just never want to open Arena. But Magic Online, it's just, again, it's a vehicle for me to play Paper Magic, so that's why I play it. Paper Magic on the other side is just making me, like, yeah, all my friends, all of the happy memories and everything. So I'm always, you know, when I shuffle a Magic deck, pull up the card, when I shuffle a Magic deck, I always
gives you joy,
like,
right?
Yeah, exactly. It's totally the opposite. And yeah, so that's why I don't play Arena, and I've just, again, I play it sometimes for the Arena Open, but I don't have the cards, so I can only play the sealed one. But I don't even, like, I don't care. If Arena would, like, disappear, my life wouldn't change of a single bit.
I understand.
Whereas if Magic Online or Magic would disappear.
Some not good flashbacks, yes. And I'm so glad to talk with you today because I enjoy the honesty, but also I'm the same way. Like, just going back to something you said, I don't enjoy Commander because I enjoy Magic when the rules are very clear. The rule is to kill your opponent. And if you're trying to do your SimCity crap by, like, turn 5, I'll just kill you before then. So I would rather just not have to do the Commander stuff if I can help it. And Magic Online, I tell everybody every week, like, Magic Online is real Magic. Arena is like an arcade game with Magic cards. It's not, it's like playing, you know how when you're bowling, you know, you bowl, right? Or every once in a while you go to the bowling alley. Like, it's like Arena is like when, like, the gutter is like blocked, you know? Like, you can't actually get the gutter ball because, like, it just protects you. You don't have to, like, learn the rules of Magic. You don't have to understand the stack. You don't have to, like, understand how priority works. It's like a hand-holding version of Magic. And I'm just saying this stuff now. This is my perspective. I'm not saying that's what you think.
Yeah.
But, like...
Yeah.
We know this is not real Magic. This is like a version of Magic, a facsimile of Magic. So I'm totally with you, my friend. And I play Magic Online, but I still rather play the paper tournament that's happening in Shanghai this weekend. I'm cubing with my friend on Saturday. I'm loving it, you know? And it was very tough for all of us during COVID. So I 100% get what you're saying. So that's why I want to say that.
The cubing part, yeah, that's nice. Yeah, we definitely share a lot of boomer Magic player opinions.
Cube is the best Magic format, just period.
I
wish there was a reality where it became the best Magic format, but it's not, but I still love it. So
I was cubing so much. Now, unfortunately, with all the work that I do and the trouble that I do, it's just impossible for me to cube. Even like once a week is so hard for me to get. But you know, one day hopefully I'll have,
because you're always working, right?
Yeah. But I mean, again, it's a type of work that still, like, makes me be super happy to wake up in the morning. It's not a type of work that, you know, I guess I was lucky enough to, I kind of have a mantra that, like, I don't do things I don't want to do. I don't know if that makes sense. So I'm still, like, super happy to wake up and work, and yeah, I just, it happens to be playing Magic most of the time, or talking about Magic, or building Magic decks, or writing about Magic. So again,
speaking of talking about Magic, this is going to be a really awkward segue, but, like, you just mentioned, like, okay, you've got so many things going on, and you know, you're working every day, you want to play more Magic, you want to travel more and have fun. So why did you start a podcast? Like, did you just do that, like, because it was during COVID and you wanted, like, a stable thing with two of your best friends? Or, like, what was the reason to do the Carnies podcast? Now I'm really curious.
Well, I just want to be everywhere. I want to be on Twitch, YouTube, I don't know, everywhere, like the Pro Tour, everywhere. Yeah. And
there's a cost because you can't like clone Mengu. So it's like there's a cost to being everywhere.
Nah, it's fine. It's just 1 hour a week. I'll find time. I'll find time. Tomorrow, I'm gonna. Anthony's returning from his RC in Australia. Javier returned from his birthday holiday, so we'll have it ready. We'll talk about the ban list, we'll talk about Anthony's RC. It's mm-hmm. fine. I'll make it work. It's okay.
Okay. So what's the most fun time that you have had doing the podcast? Is there any like super memorable moment from all the years and weeks and months of recording the Carnies?
I mean, what I enjoy, it's always the gratitude of the people being like, I listen to you every time. Put you on the, radio when I go to work, which also happens to me with your podcast. Or, I think it's all about the gratitude of people just saying nice things, because the podcast, at least, like, among all the things that I do, that they make revenue, podcast is the one that doesn't. Like, podcast mm-hmm. is the one that
it's the worst one to be in. Yeah, I can speak from personal experience, yeah.
Yeah, it's, like, you monetize throughout YouTube, like, but it makes like basically like a non-existent compared to the other
dollars. Yeah,
yeah. So it's just fun to talk to again smarter people on a weekly base, and it's just fun to again like talk to this is exactly it. I think it's just fun to talk to smart people throughout the days, like having to ask Anthony or Javier about a single deck, how would I build the deck, what would I play, and hearing their opinions. It's very cool, and I get to do it firsthand, and all the other people get to do it after. Like, I try to always ask the question that people would want to ask, because Javier is a super knowledgeable person, super smart person. I have to ask the right questions to both of them, and I guess I'm the messenger.
The messenger. Okay, so when you guys do the podcast, like, is it naturally like you have the roles assignment? Like, Javier's for sure. The teacher, you're the messenger, and I guess Anthony's also kind of a
teacher,
commenter. Yeah. Like, what is his role? Like, I've listened to a few. Like, it's just like teacher / commenter or something like that.
Yeah, I'm always like the one that doing the intros, that like moving topics, asking questions.
You're more
questions.
Like the host or the moderator in a way.
For sure, for sure. Yeah. I'm always on the podcast. It's almost impossible you find an episode where I'm not in and they recorded. It happened, I think, once. Yeah.
Then it's kind of weird, right? Like, something's kind of missing, like a host. Yeah.
It's also that I'm a content creator, so I'm always like pitting, like, oh, they'll be like, oh, maybe this time we don't do it. Like, no, we have to do it, because content creators, you can't be like, no, I don't want to do it. It's a lot of I know what people would love. Like, people would love an episode every week. You know, sometimes it's impossible, but when it is, that we should just try to find 1 hour. When we're all together, mm-hmm. and there usually is.
Are you usually the one to keep the motivation high for the group? Like, are you the one to just be like, we should be consistent, we should do it? I mean, I guess maybe the question even before that is like, have there been challenges in doing content with other people? I always assume that there can be, right? The motivation level, or some event is happening, or life things happen. Like, has that been a difficult thing? It's almost like playing in a band, right? Like, you have to get everybody all motivated.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, thankfully, that's just, again, it's not like that my whole, like, if you have to play in a band, your content relies 100% on them. Whereas this is just a very small fraction of my brand, of my whole thing. It's the podcast. So if I or Anthony are not there, don't want to do it, I can just ask another creator. Like, when Anthony and Javier were too busy to test for the PT, I found, other people for 2 weeks in a row to talk to, and people still, watched and enjoyed it. I mean, it wasn't the purpose of the podcast, which was us three, but I still kept the podcast going. And again, they are professional players that happen to be content creator because I asked them. They aren't, you know, content creator. Whereas I am content creator that happened to qualify to two PTs in a row and tried my best to test, go to the pro tour, re-qualify, and it's see what happens. Like, I know how much hard it was to test for a PT properly, to be constantly doing well like Javier and Anthony do, and I know that I don't do that anymore. And you just can't, like, again, like, like, I have a PT standard.
You have a job, you have other commitments, right?
And it also is just more fun. Like, what I do is more fun than testing. Yeah. Like, testing, especially if you're not in person, I just hate it. Like, I would hate to open a league of standard on Magic Online now. And even if I'm on Discord with other people, I still hate it. So to me, I only test when I'm in person with other people, which reduces my testing to, like, you know, a week and a half compared to the month that I would have done in the past. So yeah, my life completely changed, and I embraced it. I love it. And it's important, again, to recognize your limits. Like, if you're a person working in a full-time job and you qualify to the PT, you can't expect to go to the PT and, like, be super sad if you don't do well, because there's, you know, 50 people that dedicated like 10 times the amount of effort that you do. And it's obvious that they showed up with a better deck, with a better draft strategy. They played better and everything. So you should always be like, yeah, I mean, I guess some people don't know how much other people test compared to them, but I was there. I was there testing literally the whole day for a month. Like, like, I would go to Javier's house in Valencia to test for like a week before the testing hours the rest of the team. Yeah. And when I say testing for the week, I actually mean like literally every time I wake. So, and then you arrive to a tournament, and I had like the longest streak of like good results throughout the 2017, 2019 years. And yeah, I'm very proud of that. I'm very proud of all the PT top eights and the World Magic Cup top eights. It's just now it's just a different. I'm just a different person, basically. Just like, I'm not like a coach when you, because I'm still able to compete in Magic, but I definitely recognize, like, I go to a tournament and sometimes I don't know the cards. Like, that's impossible. You know, like, not knowing the cards is literally the bare minimum. And sometimes I fail to acknowledge all the cards of the draft formats or stuff like that. So I definitely recognize my limits, but again, happy where I am anyway.
You got to do what makes you happy. I mean, that's the only way that anything can work in the long term, right? I feel like you figure something out, especially when, because I think all of us were in very dark places. I mean, especially going through COVID in China was extremely dark. But I feel like you figure something out. Like, you have an approach now that is fairly healthy. Like you just said, like, your output is based on your input. So if you're not testing 16 hours a day for the Pro Tour, you can't outplay those people who are testing 16 hours a day for the Pro Tour. The same way that someone who's, I'm sure you have like those 10, 12 hour weeks, days of grinding content. Like someone who's only grinding content for 1 hour a day is also not going to outwork you. So it's like, it's all just like, how much time do you decide to commit to something? I think you figure it out for yourself, right? There's only one right answer for yourself, and only you know that answer, I think.
Yeah, I mean, before going to Chicago, so I went to Chicago a few weeks ago. I stayed there for a week and a half to, you know, test, because again, I didn't do any testing before that. But I had to work so much for the content that, like, I remember my head was consistently hurting and my eyes and everything. But, like, for 5 days in a row, we recorded at the Mangus Workshop. I was just making a lot of YouTube video, you know, articles and everything, so that throughout this week and a half that I wasn't home, I was able to make revenue from all my platform by scheduling all the YouTube videos and everything. My employee at Mangus Workshop would work on the footage that we recorded before that. But I was not good. I was not feeling very well in those days. I was taking, you know, painkillers and everything. But then when you're there, when you're in Chicago, you are just, people are still consuming your content. You're, I guess, you're still making money, which at the end of the day, it is most of the reasoning of everything. But outside of that, you know, people just still felt like they were watching me every day, even though I was not there at all. And yeah, I guess that's something I decided to do. It's not that nobody forced me to do, but it's part of the person that I am today. And I'll do it again for Seattle in next month. Like, you know, the week before I have to work two shifts to in exchange of the one that I'm going to take off. So, yeah, that's,
I think this is so important to call. And again, thanks for your honesty, because I feel like someone who's maybe a fan of yours may just be like, oh, you know, Mengu's living a fun life and, you know, he's traveling, he's playing Magic and smiling, but there's a lot of work that goes behind this. There's a lot of dedication and sacrifice, I might even say, right? It's not, nothing comes for free in this world. You have to work on it.
I definitely live a fun life. Like I would definitely describe my life as fun. Like on Thursday, I'm going to go to Berlin and talk to again, like Toffel and Carl, and like stay in a nice hotel with, you know, good meals and play Magic for three days. But, you know, then I return home and I have to work extra. Like these 3 days now before going that, I have to work extra because I'm taking off 2 days. It's just, yeah, I mean, it's what it is. Like I choose everything that I do, and that makes me happy. And also the people at home make are happy to watch the content they want and stuff like that. So
I want to ask you about how you feel about not the legacy format, but your legacy. Let's pretend that tomorrow Mengu just stops like playing Magic or doing Magic content, right? Are you happy with the way that you will be remembered as a Magic player and creator and someone who did something in Magic if everything stopped tomorrow?
Yeah, I think I'm very proud of the work that I did. Again, I remember during, to once again mention, the COVID period, and I was just wondering what I was doing in those years, in those time. And a person that was working in the hospital said, "You're making me happy, because while I am, you know, resting from work, I watch you. So, you know, I find in you some entertainment that just makes my life going." So I'd say that I'm very happy to read all those comments on YouTube, and people that write that are genuine, because like some people think they don't even write. The one that write really, really mean it. You know what I mean? So, yeah, very proud of everything I do. And I think that the gratitude of people is what keeps me going. It's like more and more comments is the reason why content creators keep on going, and seeing people in real life and everything. So, yeah, very happy with my legacy for now. And I'll try and build it even more for the next years that I can do it, because you said, imagine Mengu doesn't do Magic tomorrow. I will, because again, like I said at the beginning, if I don't do Magic, I don't know what to do. So I definitely
will. Maybe another way to ask the question is, when you're done with Magic someday, is that what you want to be remembered by? Is like you brought joy to people and they were entertained? Is that the main drive? Like, outside of the financial, right? Is that the main drive, or do you want to be remembered for something else?
Yeah, no, I think it's definitely the main drive. Like, the content creator is my best virtue, I would say, because as a player, again, I made a ton of great results, but so many people did that. So let's say I am maybe like top 50. You know, best result player of all time and stuff like that. But top 100, I don't know. But for content creators, you know,
so it's like a
I
net
wanna be
impact.
Higher
like
than
you
that.
Have a you wanna have a high net impact, because people will watch content more than get something out of you like playing competitive Magic, right?
For sure. Yeah, that's something that I wanna do. Like just instruct people, help people, not just entertain, but also just help. Because with my videos I always comment my play. I'm always like saying, oh, I made a mistake here. Oh, they made a mistake there. So if you want to learn my content, I think delivers you that. So this is a combination of just becoming a better player and getting entertained. And I think I try to do that best of everyone.
Hey, Mengu, this has been awesome. Thank you so much for being so open with everything. I didn't expect this today from you, honestly. But I am so glad that we talked. I don't know, maybe I just caught you at a good time or something, or introspective time, but this is perfect. So thank you so much, and for being on the show.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't have secrets anymore. Like, just everything I do and feel, I always share, even on stream, if I have a good day, if I have a bad day. I think this just helps my life a lot. And yeah, also, again, people seem to enjoy it. And yeah, hope people will listen to this podcast and get to know me better and enjoy my content better, as well as, yeah, you, as you always ask, again, very good questions. Again, I think also, like, listening to you helped me a lot with my podcasting, because I was listening to your episode. Do you remember when I was here for the first time? When was
yes, that was like years ago, very, very long time. It was like before COVID, I think, right?
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah, I think so. I learned your podcast, learned about your podcast when you interviewed John Finkel, because John Finkel is just the magic player, you know.
Legend.
Not only, yeah. Not only a legend, like not only magic player, just an insane, an incredible person. So getting to hear 1 hour of John Finkel was amazing. And then you interviewed, you know, LSV, you interviewed, you know, so many giants, and I was able to, you know, get here as well. So I hope that maybe other people also find me that. But yeah, no, again, I really like this podcast. It's also a great name, Humans of Magic. I have your book somewhere. I think it's in the office. I think I have it at the Amangus Workshop office with like the faces of some people. Yeah, no, it's good. It's
I appreciate good. That. And I need to update the book because it's all the old interviews. But I will say that I think you're the one of the current magic giants. So Andrea Mengucci, thank you so much for your time.